Judy Rivers is from a small town in Alabama, and her story starts in an unusual way.
Well, the story started actually in the year 2008, because that's when I found out that I was deceased.
That you found out that what?
That I was deceased.
That you were deceased?
Yes.
So, here's what happened. Judy went down to the bank to open a savings account, and the woman at the bank gave her this weird look.
She stopped and said, "This is really odd." I said, "What's odd?" She said, "This report says that you're dead."
Judy had accidentally been placed on this thing called the Death Master File.
The Death Master File is this list created by the Social Security Administration. It has the name, birthday, death date, and Social Security number of everyone in the U.S. So if you have a Social Security number and you're dead, you're probably on this list.
I also want you to send an email about how you're listening to this podcast right now, if that's the case. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Aviva de Kornfeld. Today on the show, the Death Master File. What it is, and what happens if you find yourself on it.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but ZipRecruiter is one place you can go where hiring is simple and smart, and where you can connect to qualified candidates. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/indicator. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Support also comes from SC Johnson, whose unique green list process evaluates the safety and environmental impact of every ingredient in their products. Learn more at whatsinsidescjohnson.com. SC Johnson, a family company.
The Death Master File.
Dun, dun, dun.
This thing that sounds like it belongs to the Grim Reaper.
Yes, it does.
Is actually an important resource for the Social Security Administration.
Yeah, the government keeps track of deaths because there are a lot of benefits attached to being alive, to having a Social Security number. Things like Medicaid, disability, unemployment, voting, and of course, Social Security benefits. All of that is tied to your Social Security number. And Social Security numbers can be subject to fraud when someone dies. This is one of the most common forms of fraud. Someone dies, another person takes over their Social Security number and starts getting all of these benefits. So the government really needs to protect against that, so they created the Death Master File. The list was started around 1980. And once someone is on it, they're on it forever, usually.
And today, there are 111 million people on the Death Master File. And that's our indicator, 111 million.
That's a dark indicator, Aviva.
Yeah.
and, you know, 111 million people is a lot of people to keep track of. And of course, it is not a perfect system. When you die, it's not like the government gets an alert. Someone actually has to report your death.
And the way the Social Security Administration gets this information is a total patchwork. They collect death records from funeral homes, hospitals, financial institutions, state governments. Sometimes it's just someone's family member who calls to report the death. Rona Lawson, she works for the Social Security Administration. She says, yeah, there's a margin of error.
It's been, I think, around 16 million deaths that we need added to the file.
Rona says the Social Security Administration estimates that there are 16 million missing files.
So 16 million people who are
actually dead, but for some reason or another, never made it onto the list.
And Social Security has been trying to chip away at this number, but of course, there's still a ways to go.
And a lot of those people who are absent from this list are still receiving benefit checks from the government each month, which is a huge suck of taxpayer money. In 2014, the Social Security Administration estimated the government spent $124 billion in what they called improper payments.
That is a huge chunk of the country's entire budget. And so they think there are 16 million dead people who are being treated by the government as if they're alive, or at least they're getting checks.
And then there are people like Judy, who is very much alive and yet has somehow found herself on this list. And there are a lot more people like Judy than you would think. A few years ago, the Social Security Administration estimated that around 12,000 Americans are accidentally placed on this list every year.
And no one seems to really know why. This happens in a lot of these cases, but nobody can figure out exactly how Judy ended up on this list. I mean, it could have been as simple as a clerical error, like somebody got the Social Security number of someone who had died, they typed it in wrong, and that happened to be Judy's Social Security number. That's what might have happened.
So back at the bank with Judy, not only would the bank not let her open a new account, but they also froze her other accounts.
Right. I mean, the bank said, listen, we can't give you access to money if you're dead. So go to the Social Security office and get a letter from them saying who you are and then come back. So Judy goes to the Social Security Administration and there?
And the woman looked it up and she said, we don't have any record of that. And I said, well, how can I be on this list? And she said, I don't know. She said, mistakes happen.
The Social Security Administration updates the death master file every month, and Judy's name was not on the new list. The new version was correct. But Judy had apparently been on an old version of the list, and a lot of businesses do not buy the updated list every month. They buy it every few months or every year or two. And Judy's bank, along with a lot of other businesses, had an older list, a list that showed Judy as deceased.
So Judy's name was stuck on one of these old versions of the list.
So practically speaking, like what does that mean?
Well, first of all, you don't have a savings or checking account. You can't apply for a job. Basically, you become what we term a cyber ghost. You no longer exist in the digital world.
You also lose access to your disability benefits, your Medicaid or Medicare insurance. You cannot rent an apartment or buy a home. Your credit cards will probably be frozen. And on top of that, every time you go somewhere and try to buy something, you are likely to be accused of stealing your own identity.
I used a debit card at a Walmart, and they called the police for identity theft.
Judy's life was going more and more downhill. She couldn't get a job. She couldn't access any of the money in her bank. She was starting to get desperate.
So she reached out to the Identity Theft Resource Center. And what they advised her to do was apply for every credit card possible. Which sounds very strange, but here's the logic behind it. The idea is that once Judy gets a credit card, it means that her name is off the list. It means that she can start getting back in the system as a person who is, you know, alive.
So Judy makes it her mission to get a credit card. For over 2 years, she's applying to every credit card she can possibly think of.
So you're applying, like, to dozens of cards?
Oh, more than dozens.
Like 100?
I'm sure probably over 100. Belk's, Walmart, and when I was rejected, I would just apply again.
And then, 2 years later, Judy walks into a TJ Maxx to apply for a store credit card. Now, she'd done this before, and she was so used to being rejected that she just filled out the application and breezed out the door. Remember, it had been a couple of years of applying, like, many, many times a week. And she was walking across the parking lot when suddenly she realized the woman at the store was following her. She was running behind her.
And the woman said, wait a minute, you forgot your card. And I'm standing there, like, dumbstruck.
Judy's name had been cleared.
She wasn't dead anymore.
And she had a credit card, a beautiful little plastic rectangle with her name, Judy Rivers, on it. It was her credit card.
I actually went and just sat in my car in 100-degree heat and cried. The relief was unbelievable. I said, I have life again. And now I am somebody.
I am somebody. Judy thought, this is it. I have my life back. Although it's not a perfect solution, Judy still suffers identity theft issues every couple months, even today.
So in my glove box, I carry a copy of my birth certificate and a certified letter from the Social Security Department stating that I am Judy Rivers and that I am alive and well. I never go anywhere without it.
Judy has become something of a death master file expert. In fact, if this happens to you, Judy is kind of the go-to person you call.
I try to help people. When they call me and I still get calls.
How many calls do you get a month?
I get at least 8-9 calls a month.
Judy has come up with a checklist of actions to take if you do find yourself on this list. In fact, sometimes she even accompanies people personally to the Social Security Administration.
It could happen to you just as easily as it happened to me. And so fast. One day you're there and the next day you're not.
You got 1 week to fix a country's failing preschools. Go. On Rough Translation, a bold experiment by a country to transform its culture of teaching. And it works. Until the very people that most want these schools to succeed start getting in the way. Rough Translation, wherever you get your podcasts.